Okay, take this second turn green. There you go.
It's interesting.
We had one last year.
Roll call.
Roll call for Thursday, January 22nd. Anderson District 2.
Here.
Anderson District 28.
Here.
Barnard.
Here.
Bebout.
Here.
Burns.
Here.
Case.
Present.
Christensen.
Here.
Coe.
Here.
Cooper.
Here.
Kraft.
Here.
Dockstetter.
Here.
Driscoll. Emmerich, Escobel, Geis, Hastert, Hicks, Johnson, Kinski, Landon, Meyer, Pappas, Perkins, Peterson, Ross, Rothfuss, Scott, Von Platern, Wasserberger, President Nicholas,
here.
29 present, 1 excused.
The prayer today is by Pastor Mender.
Good morning, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for another new day in Wyoming. The sun is shining, the wind's not blowing, and there's donuts in the break room. This morning I pray for the Senators Michael Van Flattern from Gillette, and from Cowley, Ray Peterson, from Warland, Gerald Geis, from Casper, Drew Perkins, from Sheridan, Bruce Burns, and from Casper, James Lee Anderson. Lord, for these senators and many others in this room who don't live in Cheyenne, I know that being a senator means being far away from their families and their regular business for long lengths of time. Give them the ability to balance all of that and take care of what they need to. Please watch over their families as they serve the people of Wyoming. And Father, for all these senators, give them the wisdom they need, the endurance they need, and the patience they need, not just to deal with the bills, but also with each other. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Have a seat for a moment. I've been taken out of the pledge business. Today, we're going to be joined with the first grade class of Cheyenne's Dildine School. And they're going to help us with the pledge and teach us their school pledge. And I guess let's begin by let them get in here, and then we'll give them a warm welcome. And then let them lead us to the pledge. Well, let's give them a welcome.
Here. Thank you for having us this morning. We've got to wait 1 second. My sister was just elected mayor of Gillette. She's older than me.
Flag of the United States of America, and to the republic
They don't have any candy.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to have to come back. That was very nice, and we thank the Dildine kids for having come and giving us the pledge, taking us through the pledge, and learning the Dildine pledge, which I hope that Senator Wasberger, you study that pledge, because I like that. It's Let's see, we have that, we're at that point of business. Will the reading clerk please read the Journal Committee report?
Mr. President, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of January the 21st, 2015 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Jeff Wasserberger, Chairman.
You've heard the report. Are there any objections? There being none, the report is adopted. We have the doctor of the day is Dr. Ron Malm, a DO from Cheyenne. Doctor, welcome and thank you for being here. Everybody give him some thanks. The nurse of the day is Diana O'Dell from Wyoming Medical Center. She was in the break room this morning. There were so many people talking to her. My assumption is she's diagnosed us all as hypochondriacs. We're glad to have you. Thank you. If you give her a warm welcome. In 1885, Crook County was organized. The county is named for General Crook, serving as a significant general in the Indian Wars. In 1888, the first regular passenger train arrived in Cheyenne. The thought of the day is a person who says it cannot be done should not interpret the person who is doing it. Chinese proverb gets us to work. We're at that order of business. Messages from the House is...
From the House of Representatives, January 21st, 2015, message number 120, Committee of the Whole indefinitely postponed. Mr. President, the House adopted the Committee of the Whole report failing the bill listed below by the vote indicated. House Bill number 29, Marijuana Possession, ayes 22, noes 38. The bill has been indefinitely postponed. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
I think that takes us to reports from standing committees. Is there... I don't see him here. Okay. Why don't you hold on? Well, I guess we've got a guest here. He just walked in. Coach, why don't you come on up? And this is Coach Bowl, our football coach. And good thing about it is you have to lean over to the mic. You got
I don't know if I can do that.
No, move that up.
We're going to move it?
It'll move up.
Okay.
Actually, the lean over.
We have a very tall minister that talks.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Mr. President, and thank you for this opportunity to address this outstanding body. It was a little bit less than a year ago as I walked in this room, and I was literally shaking in my boots to address this group. I can tell you a little bit, it's still a pretty ominous task as I look around the group. Thank you very much. But it has been a pleasure to serve as your head football coach and to get around our state. And the resolve and the determination for greatness with Cowboy football has never been greater. I can also tell you the opportunity has never been greater, but there's challenges that are out there. And we're about to continue to face those challenges. A couple things that I'd like to commit to you in the short time that I've been your head football coach. When I first was hired, I looked in the locker room, and we had 115 young men, bright-eyed, from all around the world. A troubling fact for me, quite frankly, was the fact that we had more football players from Germany on our team that were on scholarship than the university than in Wyoming. And we're changing that. As I canvass the country and I have colleagues all across our country, common wisdom is that you cannot win championships with Wyoming players. And I'm here convinced more than ever we cannot win without Wyoming football players. And I give you that commitment. We have doubled down. We have offered more scholarships than we ever have in recent history. Harken back to the days of Bob Devaney or Lloyd Eaton or Paul Roach or Coach Tiller. And we're going to return to our roots, and we will return Cowboy football back to national prominence. Along with that, we have designed what's called the Wyoming Profile, the young men that we're looking for. The number one attribute that we're looking for is for them to receive a meaningful degree from a great institution. And I can tell you here proudly, while I was disappointed in our one loss record, that we posted the highest record in the APR rate, which is submitted to the NCAA, which is the academic progress rate. So our guys are going to school, and they're matriculating through. And the value systems that are in place will serve them well. Along with that, because of the wisdom of this body and the body in the other room, there's a great institution, and there's also great pathways to that institution for a young man to come without a scholarship. The ability to come, being an in-state player with the Hathaway Scholarship, provides great opportunities for these young men. And the culture within our program has also changed to where there's one of more of a welcoming attitude of coming in and joining it. There's going to be a young man that's from Tent Sleep or Lusk or some young men right now on our squad from Lander that have grown up dreaming to be a Cowboy. And we're giving them that opportunity. And so I see greatness ahead. I'm firmly convinced the brighter days are ahead. There's work to be done. And I want you to know, Mr. President, and to this group, it is a privilege for me to serve as your head football coach. So thank you very much, and go Pokes!
You may.
Before the coach leaves the floor, I think this is only appropriate.
Senator Hastert. While he's thinking about it, Coach, I might have to have you come back and give the speech right before the budget. You're pretty good at that.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I was hoping to get the my computer. You can sing.
Like music to the town.
I couldn't get my song going, yeah.
Members of Senate, up in the galley on the, I guess it'd be the East End, is Governor Kasich from Ohio. He was here to talk to us about the balanced budget amendment. Would you give a warm welcome to the governor? Governor, if you'd like to come down and give us a speech or a talk, we'd be welcome you to come on down to the mic, or you can just come down and sing Cowboy Joe, whichever you like. All right. No governor would turn that down. No, it's got to be Cowboy Joe. I mean, the No Buckeye songs. It's you're restricted to Home on the Range. You can do the cowboy song. You got a few things that we can do. Governor, thank you for coming to Wyoming. We're glad to have you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you. I'm a little bit, I'm not so familiar with that song, but we have a little song in Ohio called Drive Across the Field, and we had a pretty good year this year in football. And I met your coach, and he's very good friends with the former coach of Ohio State, Jim Tressel, who is a man of great value. And he's now the president of Youngstown State, and it's pretty interesting because last night I was in North Dakota, and they're coming in to play Youngstown State, so I'm having a great tour here. Hey, it's really what an honor for me. It's just great to be here in Wyoming. You're an incredible state, and you've had so many people who have made such significant contributions, and I do love your governor. I happen to know that I used to be a member of the legislature, and always picked on executives. Now I'm an executive, and so I have to defend all the executives with the legislators that I have to meet with. But he's a terrific guy, very, very intelligent, and a leader inside of the Republican governors. I don't really want to spend much time talking about the balanced budget amendment, although we had two young boys, and I asked them to come up at our press conference, and I asked them, how would you feel if the 10 people who are supporting this amendment, if we went out to lunch and rang up a $40 or $50 bill, a lunch you didn't go to, and then we gave you the bill. And these kids were 10 and 11 years old. They said, well, we wouldn't like that very much. And I think we should keep that in mind as we go through this debate. But here's what I really want to be short, and I want to leave you with. I was just able to deliver an inaugural address, and it was very different. I did not talk about tax cuts or any of those kinds of things, much about policy at all. I tried to focus on five foundational issues that I think have been eroded in our country. The first one is the issue of personal responsibility. Personal responsibility on all of us who hold elected office, and there are things that we are expected to do and be personally responsible. It's the personal responsibility that our children need to understand, that they need to own their own life. You know, the dog ate my homework went out in the fourth grade. And we need to do the most that we can do to own our own lives. Second issue I talked about was resilience. We find people that too often give up. And we know through history or through personal experience that the trials of life sometimes build our character and put us in a position of where it strengthens us as individuals and improves our ability to lead in whichever way. Thirdly, is the issue of empathy. I think this is a big one. Our ability to put ourselves in somebody else's shoes. Our ability to walk in their moccasins, as they would say out here in the West. Why is that so important today? Because I think as a country, as a state, as a community, we find polarization and alienation in too many places in our culture. That's not America. America is the ability to have a great debate, a great discussion, and you can fight like till the cows come home with somebody that thinks differently than you, but they are not your enemy. And the issue of empathy also gets to those who struggle and who live in the shadows of life. In our state, we try to pay attention to those who live in the shadows, whether they're the mentally ill, the drug addicted, or the working poor. Fourthly is the issue of teamwork. And in my state, we struggle, just like I'm sure you do here, and they struggle all across the country in legislatures and in the Congress, of the fact that too much of the time we fight against one another, and not enough of the time do we join together to become a stronger team. I was there in Washington for 18 years, and there were times when we came together as a country, where teamwork became the order of the day. That's how we were able to pass a balanced budget agreement in 1997 that gave us a glimmer of hope and light. Too often that's been missing. And then finally, the issue of faith. I think we need to stand up for faith, stand up for family. Faith is so important because I'm of the belief that we're all created special. Every individual is created and to do a certain task, to become part of a mosaic so we can lift and heal and love. And this is what I talked about in my inaugural. I had no idea how people would react to it, because normally they want rah, rah, and I'm going to cut this tax and that tax. But I was surprised at the reaction that I was able to receive by talking about those issues. Because, you know, I think they're at the heart and the soul of what troubles our country. And I believe if we can begin to think about how we reinforce them, even through the legislation that you may pass, I think we can help renew our country. And that's what we should all be here for. Mr. President, my dad carried mail. What the heck am I doing here, speaking in the Senate of the great state of Wyoming? I'm humbled by this opportunity. I will never, ever forget this moment. Thank you all very much.
Thank you, Governor.
Back to work. I think the next item is messages from the House. Is that right?
Yes.
Well, standing committee, we're at that point of business. Reports from standing committees.
January the 22nd, 2015. Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporation Election Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred Senate File 45, Digital Information Privacy Task Force Reappropriation. Reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Case, Pappas, Scott. Absent, Senator Hicks. Excused, Senator Miles Meyer. Senator Case, Chairman. January the 22nd, 2015. Mr. President, Committee Number 7, Corporation Election Political Subdivision, to whom was referred Senate File 37, State Protection of Data Privacy. reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Case, Pappas, and Scott. Absent, Senator Hicks. Excuse, Senator Meyer. Senator Case, Chairman. January the 21st, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate File 81, Lifesaver Program 2, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Anderson 02, Emmerich, Escobel, and Johnson, excuse Senator Meyer, Senator Johnson, acting chairman. January the 22nd, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 63, Predator Ownership, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Anderson 28, Barnard, Cooper, Kraft, and Johnson, Senator Cooper, Chairman. January the 21st, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred Senate File 70, Cooperative Electric Utility Rate Adjustment Notice, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Anderson 28, Cole, Cooper, Rothfuss, Von Flatern, Senator Von Flatern, Chairman. January the 21st, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, Economic Development, to whom was referred Senate File 65, Savings and Loan Association, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Anderson 28, Cole, Cooper, Rothfuss, Von Flatern, Senator Von Flatern, Chairman. January the 21st, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred Senate File 72, OSHA Penalties 2, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Kraft, Driscoll, Landon, and Peterson. No, Senator Scott. Senator Scott, Chairman. January the 21st, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, Economic Development, to whom was referred Senate File 68, Property Rights Ombudsman, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Cole, Cooper, and Rothfuss. No, Senators Anderson 28, Von Flatern, Senator Von Flatern, Chairman.
Ready for second reading? We're at that order of business, second reading. Senator Von Flatern.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate File 68, Property Rights Ombudsman. As an appropriation, I ask, with no objection, I ask that that it be re-referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations.
Without objection, Senate File 68 is re-referred to Appropriations Committee.
Thank you.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate File 45, that is Digital Information Privacy Task Force reappropriation. Doesn't actually have a monetary amount in it, but it deals with unexpended funds, and it's a financial matter, the budget, and for the Digital Privacy Task Force. And we discussed it and decided it'd be better to get appropriations inputs. We'd ask that it be referred.
Thank you. Without objection, Senate File 45 is re-referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Senator Johnson.
Oh, thank you, Mr. President. Senate File 81 does have an appropriation in it, and I request that it be re-referred to Committee Number 2.
Thank you. Without objections, Senate File 81 is re-referred to Appropriations. Yeah. Don't worry, the budget will get marked up. Senator Cooper.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, Senate File 63, which was just read in, I would ask that that be re-referred to it does have an appropriation, and it has to be re-referred to the Appropriation Committee. Committee number two, please.
Without objection, Senate File 63 is re-referred to Appropriation. Mr. Majority Floor, on the second reading, would you be kind enough to request that Senate Joint Resolution 2 be laid back another day? I'm still waiting for my epiphany.
Mr. President?
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, I ask that Senate Joint Resolution 2 be laid back until tomorrow for second reading.
Thank you. With that, there being no objection, Senate Joint Resolution number 2 is laid back for an additional day. With that, order of business, bills on second reading. Senate File 5, second reading.
Senate File 5, Quebec Number 1, Historic Site 3.
There is an amendment. Would the reading clerk please read the amendment in?
Senate File 52, Second Reading Amendment Number 1, page 2 after line 9.
And the note on my sheet says that it was, if you're looking for the amendment, it was originally handed out with the Tuesday package. Senator Cooper.
Thank you, Mr. President. I ask that Second Reading Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 5 be withdrawn. There is another amendment, however.
Without objection, Second Reading Number 1 is withdrawn. Do we have a second amendment?
I would ask, Mr. President, that
thank you.
Second Reading Amendment Number 2 be read in.
The reading clerk will please read in Second Reading Amendment Number 2.
Senate File 5, Second Reading Amendment Number 2, page 2 after line 9.
Mr. President, I move Second Reading Amendment Number 2 to Senate File 5 and ask for your favorable consideration. Mr. President, I'd ask that Senator Pappas then explain the amendment.
Senator Pappas.
Mr. President, thank you. The amendment before you, and I would like to read it, if I may. It's an addition to page 2, little paragraph B. Before acceptance and transfer of the land and facility as provided in subsection A of this section, an environmental baseline survey pursuant to the Air Force Instruction 327066 shall be completed. The survey shall identify the nature and magnitude of environmental contamination of the property. The survey shall include a search of all available historic and operational records and survey reports, collection of samples and appropriate, and inspections. The state shall not accept transfer of the property unless all risks to the quality of human environment are mitigated. Assurance of mitigation, as provided in this subsection, shall be provided to the Joint Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources Committee prior to the transfer of ownership under this section. I further this amendment because of the discussion we had the other day regarding the environmental assessment. An environmental assessment has been done on this property, but what an environmental baseline study does will provide a report that documents any contamination in real property. And this is done by the Air Force as a matter of fact on every real property transaction. So, frankly, even if we hadn't put it into this bill, they would have done it anyhow. The Air Force will not allow property to be transferred without this study to be done. The EBS includes the analysis of all available and relevant records. It includes the visual site and inspection of the property and all the structures that are built on the property, and also a recorded chain of title documentation review. There's interviews that are done with Air Force personnel, and with non-Air Force personnel associated with the use of the property, past and present. So I believe that with this language, we probably will be assured that all mitigation will happen before any transfer to the state of Wyoming. And I know that was a concern from some of the senators on first reading. And so we do have it entered into the bill to make sure it happens and that assurances of that mitigation process is done. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Pappas. Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I appreciate the work that the committee has been working, the sponsors of the amendment have been working to get to this point. A couple concerns I have with this. First of all, it sounds to me like you have retreated from the idea that there might be an opportunity to lease the property as this goes straight directly into an ownership relationship. So when the sponsors are take their second opportunity to speak to us, I would like to have an explanation as to why we're not looking into a relationship where the federal government continues ownership and we become just the managers of the property. Second, I do, if we are to take title of the property, have we done all that we can do to negotiate compensation to take over the property so that, in other words, if the Air Force were to keep the property, they would have a significant expense. That expense is being relieved by keeping it in this, taking it to a tourism facility. But some of that expense that they're sharing should be shared with the state, it seems to me, for tourism. Has that been explored? Then if we decide that title is the right pathway to flow, we had talked earlier in the first reading or during committee of the whole as to whether or not the plan should be fully developed with all the information and brought back to the legislature for final action. And so the question is, why are we choosing not to, why are we delegating this? Now, there is a structural problem with this amendment, and I'd take you to lines 12 through 15. On lines 12 through 15, it provides an assurance of the mitigation is provided, the subsection shall be provided to the Joint Travel Rec Committee prior to transfer, so that it's unclear whether or not we're delegating an activity to a subcommittee that cannot act on our behalf. If the trigger is all that has to happen is a report presented to the committee, and the executive branch of the government is free to move forward, then if that's the triggering event, that may be appropriate. But if what you're looking for is the committee to bless the report, review it, and determine whether it was an appropriate good deal, then the language cannot stand because we cannot delegate this type of legislative activity to a subcommittee. So if the legislature wants to have the opportunity to re-review this in the interim, you do have to bring it back to the legislature because we don't act. You can ask the executive branch to conduct this effort and say that when the governor is satisfied, you move forward. But it is mechanically and constitutionally inappropriate for us to delegate to a subcommittee the opportunity to look at it, review it, determine that it's a good deal, and then that be the triggering event. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion on the amendment? Senator Kraft.
Thank you so much, Mr. President. I would like to kind of help with the discussion on the amendment, refer you to a handout that was placed in your at your desk, which addresses a number of the questions that were raised regarding this. But I'd like to specifically respond to Mr. President's concerns that I really appreciate. We actually did discuss a lease option, which is indeed an option. We wondered about putting that in the amendment. By then, the amendment had been drafted. But if you look at the back, the flip side of your handout, there is the answer to question four. Can we do a lease or use agreement? And the answer is yes. We can indeed. While we thought that possibly transferring to the state would be more appropriate, simply because that takes the federal government totally and completely out of the mix. They have nothing to do with it, then it becomes ours. But given that, we did have a vigorous discussion early this morning about the possibility of a lease and the option to either lease or take ownership. I would be delighted to meet with the group again and bring a third reading amendment. You know, you keep trying sooner or later. Hopefully you get it right. So I'm hoping that maybe three might be a charm and we might be able to address that. I would like to bring one that gives us the option. I also believe while we do have to act, I do believe there is time for us to come back for a full legislative review. I appreciate Mr. President pointing out the difficulty in the TRW committee assuming all that responsibility, and I certainly would rather give it right back to the legislature. So if you would allow the bill to continue, we will indeed come back with a third reading amendment discussing options, whether we take full ownership or a lease, and providing that the environmental baseline study and everything else be reviewed by the legislature. I will tell you, I just had a text just a couple of minutes ago from the air base. And they had a committee meeting this morning and promised they would fast track all of the studies and all of the reviews and be of as much help as they possibly can to us. So hopefully you'll let this go forward and allow us to come back with a third reading amendment, providing options and taking the TRW committee out of their ownership role. Thank you very much.
Further discussion on the amendment. Senator Cooper.
Thank you, Mr. President. I feel probably perhaps at this time, because of the information that you brought forward, Mr. President, that with the problem with this amendment, that we probably ought to, if we could, withdraw this amendment at this time, and if we were able to move it on to third reading, then we'd have to do a third reading amendment on it. But that apparently is a – I can see your point, Mr. President, on that, and that is could be a problem. So if is that okay to withdraw this at this time?
It's your that's call. Right. If without objection, it can be withdrawn, okay. If that's what you'd like.
Thank you.
Okay, without objection, the amendment is withdrawn.
And Mr. President, thank you. And if I could just to bring about an answer to maybe one of the questions that you had brought up in your discussion. This is on the bill now. From what we understand and from the information the testimony that the Air Force had given was that the property will be turnkey and they will deliver it to us in the same condition that the facility like that would normally be operated, other than the interpretive part of it. And then, of course, the interpretive part we would have to do as a state. But other than that, it would be in turnkey conditions, Mr. President. Thank you.
Senate File 5 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered.
Mr. President.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Yeah, Mr. President, may I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
Thank you, Mr. President. A couple members of the Senate have asked about the limitation on debate. And for all of you, if you'll just, under page 15 of our rules, 8-1 speaking limits, essentially what it says, you know, as we've talked before, you can, during second and third reading, you can speak twice on the bill or twice on each amendment. We talked yesterday about when you split the amendment, you're allowed to speak twice on each of those splits. And the limitation is 5 minutes. I just want everybody to understand that. Thank you, Mr. President.
For clarification, that's 5 minutes each time you stand up.
Yep.
Senate File 8, second reading.
Senate File 8, State Education Accountability and Assessment.
There is an amendment. There's a couple amendments. Senator Wasserberger.
Oh, Mr. President, I move second reading amendment.
You know, I apologize. Yeah, you did. Never mind. Go ahead.
You're good. You got to read it in.
Well, if we go ahead and read it, let's have the read.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move second reading amendment number one to Senate file.
Yeah, it's got to be read in, Mr. Senator.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So we're going to read it in and give it to you. That's my fault. I'll get a better sync here in a minute.
Senate File 8, second reading amendment number 1, page 23, line 4.
Now, Senator Wasserberger.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 8, and essentially a brief explanation of this on page 23, line 4. Essentially what it does is strike 4 years and put that math requirement back to 3. And currently, for graduation, the math requirement is Algebra 1, Geometry, and Algebra 2 for their 3 years of required math. And the success curriculum is an extra year, so they would have 4 for the success curriculum. And what this does, Mr. President, having done a lot of campaigning in this last summer, I heard it fairly loud and clear from the people of my community that they want local control of their local school district. And I got skinned up pretty good in that campaign. But really what it does, at least for me, is I'm a huge advocate of career technical education and the idea that there's a lot of young men and women that want to work with their hands. And this allows them one other year of electives, and it allows our electives to remain in place within our local school districts. Those students who are wanting to be successful and receive the Hathaway or move on, they still have to qualify for the success curriculum. I believe this is an excellent amendment, and I'll turn it over to those in response.
Senator Dockstader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I stand in support of this amendment. I went on the airwaves back home this morning and explained what we're doing, and the email response came almost immediately from those who have been involved in education a lot longer than I have, from our director of instruction, who said, please don't do this. Not in favor of this portion of the legislation in any way. We're already requiring more of our students in the area of math than we ever have before. As the good senator just noted, the Algebra 1 and the Geometry, that's all there. They're saying this fourth-year requirement is not needed. It's already optional for those who are going through the success curriculum, and we don't need to add this to the lineup of what's being offered out there now. They already feel that they have a very rigorous program underway, and that adding this fourth year doesn't assist at all. Essentially, they're asking, let the parents be parents and let us have our local control. Very strong response from back home against this. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, in support of the amendment.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to say that I heard both presenters loud and I heard them clear. Yesterday, when this Senate File 8 was discussed, this issue came up. I think if I recalled, I stood up and expressed some of the same concerns that had just been expressed. So the idea is, I think we agree on the problem. The difference, as I speak against the amendment, is in regard to the solution. All the debate that I've heard in regard to educational reform, be it large schools, be it small schools, be it all schools in Wyoming, is the demand, or at least the expectation, of a higher standard and rigor. I would contend that this fourth year of math is about a higher standard, and it's about rigor. The question at hand here is whether we try to resolve problems like this as they come along by a simple stroke of the pen. Change 4 back to 3 and we're done. To me, it's not that simple, and yesterday I said that I hesitated to do any kind of an amendment like that, and what I offered yesterday, I offer again. This is one of those issues. If, in fact, we do believe in rigor and we do believe in higher standard, let's take it into recalibration and discuss whether or not we're willing and whether we're able to provide the accommodations and provide the resources for small schools to achieve at the same level of equity demanded by the Supreme Court and the Constitution as large schools. So again, I would urge you to vote against this amendment. It is, like I said, it's a simplified stroke of the pen when we need to take this conversation into perhaps recalibration, maybe even into the interim, discussing such things as accommodations as probably as distance learning. And we also need to look it into a broader context, and I don't mean to get outside the context of the amendment to remain germane, but there are other issues in regard to language immersion and other issues that have been cast into this arena that might undergo the same scrutiny. So we need to talk about these expectations that we have placed upon smaller schools, larger schools, and do it in a wide open arena, a forum of debate, and stand solidly behind our expectations of rigor, high quality, and let's don't back away, even if it demands us to find solutions and perhaps a longer school year, a longer day, higher appropriations or whatever it is. But if these, in fact, are mandates, and if they're unfunded, then if we want to meet the mandate, let's step up, fund them, give them the resources, give them the accommodations. Again, thank you, Mr. President. I would ask that you resist this amendment. Thank you.
Mr. Vice President, if you'd come up. Senator Coe.
Mr. President, this is about what we want to do with our educational system. What do we want to do with our system? When we started the accountability process, one of the criteria and one of the philosophies that we embraced, we want our K-12 system in Wyoming to be the best in the country. Best in the country. And then what did we do? We went out and we created the most unique scholarship program of anybody in the country. There's other programs out there, but they appropriate the money. We endowed ours with the work of the tall senator from Casper. This is not the time to back off. You know, this is a global economy. Big time. And the United States is not getting it done right now. And honestly, we aren't getting it done quite yet in Wyoming. Rigor is what we need. Now, remember also, this isn't about saying, first of all, there's 9 electives out there left after, if you take the Hathaway. There's 9 electives left, and that includes 4 years of math. This is not about saying that we're going to take the ability for a career tech student that wants to go to a community college away from him. Because if he goes for an AA at a community college, guess what he has to take when he's in college? He's got to take math. And currently, 46% of the kids coming out of Wyoming high schools are going into remedial math. So this is about what we want for the betterment of education in Wyoming. We spend, if you take cost of living and apply that, we spend more than any other state in the country on education. So this is about a standard that I think moves us up. If you look at other states out there, they have the requirements. You know, the states that are performing well, particularly Massachusetts. So I submit that this isn't about taking the career tech area away from aspiring students. This is about a good education system that we're trying to build on, and that's what accountability is all about. And 4 years of math is a good way to do it.
Thanks, Senator Cole. Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Ladies and gentlemen, on and against the amendment. We talk about rigor, and that's important, but when I think about rigor, I think about how difficult is the class you're taking, and that's a part of it. But when we talk about preparation of students to go out, young people to be successful in their lives, you have to look at continuous learning. And over the course of the last 4 to 5 years, 10 years, we have met many times with employers throughout the state, and we've asked them, are the students coming out of high school in Wyoming prepared to take basic jobs? And we're continuously advised that no. We have students that simply just don't have the math skills to be successful at the workforce. Now, I understand choice. And I understand that you're going to get emails from constituents that say, don't force my child to have a continuous 4 years of math. There's other things where he can excel. But you know what? For those students that are not prepared to get a job, who don't get a job, who cannot succeed at going to a community college or to a high school, one of two things happens. Either one, we are getting a very expensive process for remediation, which the rest of us have to pay. I'm not given a choice to whether or not I could fund remediation programs. So it's very expensive. And if I suppose the choice is, say, fine, if you don't take continuous math and you're not prepared to do it, then promise never to take a remediation class. Promise never to come back and tax us. And by the way, if you can't get a job, or if you cannot get a job that will pay your health insurance, we'll promise to pay your health insurance. There comes a time where we have reached a point, and we have reached this point. Over years of studying this, we know that there are some basic skills that you need to have in order to be competitive in a worldwide market as we're moving forward in a technical market. And one of those skill sets is math. And if you've been through that experience where you've taken two or three, the best time to learn, by the way, is during high school. That's the time when your mind is picking up. The best time to learn a language is when you're in a little kid. There are little kids that speak Chinese all over the world. But you would have a difficult time going out and learning Chinese. Math is the same way. So we have these students at the optimum time of learning to learn math skills, and all we're saying is you have to take that math for 4 years because we're going to have continuous learning throughout the 4 years. No change. And do you want the kids learning like this and leaving it, high school? Or do you want them like this, where the last year is a dip down, they're actually losing their skills, and they're not maintaining it? And who has to pay for the remediation, the cost of the social effect, if they're not prepared? Our economy has changed. These are skills that you must have. I urge you to vote no on the amendment.
Thank you. Senator Barnard, beat them all up. Senator Barnard was up first.
Mr. Chairman, on and against this amendment, I can tell you from personal experience, from graduating from high school, Evanston High School, and going to the University of Wyoming, I took a college algebra class the first semester, and the second semester I took an introduction to calculus. Had I not had these classes in high school, trigonometry and introduction to calculus, I guarantee I would not have passed these classes. There's a big difference between a college class and a high school class. And if you take that basis in high school of calculus, you're going to be way more prepared when you go to college. Mr. Chairman, also we need to consider about the people that change their mind. Maybe they have a technical choice that they're going to do, a vocational choice they're going to go into. When they get to college, they might find out that they do have to have that math. And instead of going back to a remediation course, they will have already taken that. A third aspect, Mr. Chairman, is that sometimes if you go to another school, they'll have a higher math standard. They'll want four years of college, 4 years of math to get into those schools. So I stand against this amendment. We need all the math we can get in high school.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and for this amendment, this is a deal breaker for me on this particular bill. If this amendment fails or passes, my constituents, as my colleague from the Star Valley area, are a pretty conservative bunch of folks up there. Accountability is important. But this amendment, don't forget what we're talking about here. The success curriculum, you can still take your 4 years of math. You could take more classes in math. You can take college credits, college courses in math to excel in that. So we're not, this is the graduation requirement from high school. And it is always at the cost or the expense of one of those electives that we are choosing to say, okay, we're going to make the decision for you. You can't take that band, or you can't take that choir, or you can't take that art class because we're going to force another period of math on you. Whether you're interested or not in math, you're going to be required to take that fourth year of math. Whether you're interested or not of going to college, you're going to be required to take that 4 year of math. That's, to me, that's just blatantly wrong. Now, my three children took 4 years of math. They've all gone to college. The opportunity was there. They took college credits their senior year. Calculus, trigonometry. That was their choice, but not here. Not in Wyoming. I mean, we're going to tell you. You're going to take that math whether you like it or not, and you might flunk it, but you're going to take it. This is a deal breaker for me, Mr. President.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, first I ask for the yeas and nays in this amendment. Mr. President, this is one of those things that is, I think, one of the fundamental issues before us. Mr. President, speaking against the amendment, in our modern high-tech world, where so many jobs depend on math, if we pass amendments like this, we're really hurting the average young man, young woman in this state.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, on and for the amendment. Yesterday, I asked the sponsors of the bill and the Joint Education Committee, or the Education Accountability Committee, are we discussing the numeric value of just how many class, and we're substituting that for rigor instead of level of achievement? And the answer was, well, we kicked that over to the Board of Education. They said they don't want to go there because sometimes things are difficult. This whole debate, in my mind, is a wrong-minded debate. What constitutes rigor? I took four math classes, so that was rigorous. I never got past remedial math because I took it four times. But that's rigorous, Mr. President. It's what we accomplish as becomes the rigor. Calculus is more rigorous than remedial math. Now, the other assumption that we've had in this argument is that if I take 4 years, somehow that makes me a better person, or I'm more intelligent, or I'm going to succeed in society. That's based on a premise that everybody is at the same darn level and they have to have 4 years to exceed. What about the converse of the discussion that we heard along those lines? What about that student that can come in and pass trigonometry or statics or physics or some other high level of math by his sophomore year, but he has no desire to go on to the university? He wants to go to business. He wants to open a welding shop or a machine shop or some other enterprise or a shoe store. The discussion that he has to take 4 years when he's already at a level that's much higher than everybody else, and then to say, we're going to deny you the opportunity to take other electives, is wrong-headed. The discussion's wrong-headed. Let's talk about the level of achievement that we want instead of just the numeric discussion that they have to take 4 years. Mr. Chairman, on and for the amendment.
Senator Office.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Mr. President. Regarding that achievement level, what we know through the data that we've received is that the fourth year of math makes a tremendous difference on the performance and the mathematical knowledge of the students in high school. And we can look at Mr. President, our ACT scores in the 2014 year, as an example of that, where when we look at the data from the ACTs, and obviously all of our students have to take that in the 11th grade, those students that tracked on the three-year track of Algebra 1, Algebra 2, and Geometry, there's 1,200 of those students that took the test. That was 20% of the population, so 3 years there. Had an average ACT math score of 17.3. The next lowest was any combination of Algebra 1, Algebra 2, Geometry, and other advanced math averaged 19.9. So 2.6 full points on that scale, and that doesn't include trig or calculus or any of the higher level advanced math. Calculus, for example, scored a 24.2 when you take calculus that senior year. So that calculus versus 3 years would be 24.2 versus a 17.3. It makes a tremendous difference. The scores indicated this is statewide in Wyoming for our students, and I can get all of you the rest of that data. It's readily available if you want to see the staggering difference in those results. Mr. President, it means a lot in terms of the remediation rates in our schools, in the performance after school. And as I said in the last debate, the folks who aren't going to college, those are the ones I'd be the most concerned about, because the folks who are going to go to college, either the university or one of our colleges, they're probably going to have to take some more math, remedial first, and then the regular math if they hadn't taken that fourth year. But the ones who aren't going to college, to think that they would take 3 years of mathematics and not have the opportunity to get the upper division, upper level mathematics that really is critical in any science, technology, engineering, mathematics career, and most careers, is concerning. So I'd certainly hope that we would reject this amendment, Mr. President, and add to our academic rigor.
On the amendment, Senator Driscoll.
On and for the amendment. Love to hear the floor debates. Love statistics. They're great. Talk about how many higher points we are about the kids that are at college that have done 4 years of math. I'll represent to you, I've got three children. One of them got two masters, took all the math she could take in school, points ahead, college bound, know where she was heading from the day she started. Freshman year, she knew she was heading down. She's a school teacher now, probably end up with a PhD year or two, like a lot of your outstanding kids. Got a son home ranching. Maybe needs fourth year of math, maybe not. But the truth is, it doesn't matter if you give it to him or not, he wasn't going to take it. And he'll learn it as the time comes on. This deal of being able to force the deal, to force kids to take the fourth year, what you're actually doing is going to create a wider split as far as the children that are college bound. The whole idea of Hathaway, or at least in my mind, is to get kids that weren't normally going to be in college and get them a college degree and get them there. And if we got to do some remediation when they get there, let's do it. But it's not all 100%. We're dictating all of our education in the state of Wyoming. When you look at our accountability in the entire thing, we're directing it towards trying to get 100% of our kids, assuming they're going to be college graduates. Folks, that isn't happening. We're not getting 30% of them. And you got to look at trying to target that 70% to get them somewhere. The Hathaway is what does that. And if you force them to the point in school that they don't get to that point, they're not going to get there. This math requirement actually may force some kids not to graduate from school before you're done. They've got to want to go out and do what they're doing in the workforce and to force them into a fourth year of math takes away some of the electives that may very well make them be able to be in the workforce and get out of school.
Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I've been sitting here thinking about what I'd like to say about this. I am for the amendment. Let's start off by saying that so that I don't forget to say that. But everything I wanted to say has kind of been said by everybody, and I don't like Me Too type things. However, there is one great problem we have today with our high school and college graduates, and it's pretty well uniform across all of them, according to the experts I've asked. They don't know how to use a checking account, a savings account. They don't know how to keep the checkbook register, and they don't know what to do with a bank statement. When I was in eighth grade, we had a year-long class on all of that, along with the stock market and everything else. But apparently, anymore, what was then called business math and was very important is totally ignored. And just as something new, when they get out of college or when they get out of high school, they've got to know this. And I know bankers, personal bankers in Cheyenne, who spend a lot of hours in their employment teaching adults how to have a checking account and a savings account. And it's unfortunate that that's necessary.
Further debate, Senator Kinski.
Thank you, Mr. President. Ronald Reagan once said that when he was in school, he spent all of his time socializing, studying acting, and going out on dates. And he famously pondered aloud, he said, "I wonder how far I might have gone if only I had applied myself to my studies." Which has nothing to do with the bill, I just like that story. I'm rising in favor of the amendment, that is to roll this mandate back from 4 years to 3 years. And the reason for it is this. I like SF8. I like the idea of rigor, especially given that I'm no longer a student. And I like the idea of 4 years of math. So I'm not saying no, I'm saying just not quite yet. And the reason for that, in addition to everything every other speaker has talked about, but I've visited with my school districts, with educators, as well as parents. And the reason for it is I'd like to just take a little bit of a breather in terms of where we are in education and give these folks and these districts and these educators a chance to kind of regroup a little bit. Because we've been through so much over the last 4 years. And there's so much in this bill, and there's so much to absorb. We've got a new superintendent who says that she's going to reach out and engage these folks in a dialogue that we all know needed to happen, and it does need to happen. And to try and deal with some of the angst and the anxiety, because it's one thing to pass a mandate and then say later we'll get to the funding, but it'd sure be nice to engage some of these rural school districts, which I have in my district, in a little bit of a discussion as to what those costs were, what they'd like to see in the recalibration, how we can accommodate the 4 years of math. So there's some skepticism about the mandates out there that come out of Cheyenne. And the way to overcome that is to sit at table together and to engage in that dialogue and to work together. The other thing is organizations can just absorb so much change at any given time. I had a business that grew at double-digit rates. I brought a lot of change to my town when I was mayor. And periodically, you just have to say, let's back it off just a notch or two and give people a chance to absorb everything that we've been through. And that's the reason that I'm in favor of this amendment. We've got so many other things coming at them. I'd say I'm not saying no, I'm saying just not quite yet. Let's let them absorb some of the pace of the change that we've thrown at them. Let's get through recalibration and engage them in a dialogue about the four-year math requirement and some of the other things that we've got coming at them. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Peterson, I believe for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. President, for my second time. One last comment in conjunction with the good senator from Sheridan. The thought came across my mind. We're assuming with this particular, on a still for the amendment, Mr. President, haven't changed my mind yet. This, we're assuming that every program in the state and throughout our school districts is A number one, and that fourth year will make a lot of difference. And I've got statistics that can show just the opposite, that not all school districts are created equal, that some of our math programs out there in our districts are terrible. So my point is what is one more year going to accomplish in a terrible math program?
in some of our smaller school districts, some of our larger school districts. A poor teacher is a poor teacher. What's one more year going to give that student? I mean, in our area, we're known, some of our districts, as our students go and apply for a community college, that community college knows by experience that the student from that particular high school will probably most likely be tested into remedial math that first year of college. What does that tell us about our high school math programs? And so adding another year is going to solve that problem? No. The cart is before the horse here, Mr. President. Let's get the accountability first, get our programs in shape, then let's talk about that fourth year. Right now we're assuming that everything's right there at the top, and that fourth year is going to make all the difference in the world, and I propose that it's not going to make that much difference if our programs aren't there yet. With that, Mr. President, again, on and for the amendment.
Senator Esquivel, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I guess, for me, the way I look at it, it all boils down to, what rule do we want to follow? Do we want to follow the rule of 4 years of math, or do we not want to follow that rule? If we follow the rule of 4 years, it'll cause some problems for some people. There's some students that I'm sure could breeze through 6 years of math in 2 years. There's others that it'll be a little bit more difficult. But I think it still boils down to what's the standard that we're looking for. And if it's 4 years of math, then even though there might be some problems, there will be some problems. I don't think I think they can be overcome. Will it be easy? Probably not. But and the reason I mentioned it as a rule, it's just like a majority floor leader wasn't too long ago, a couple of minutes ago, that he reminded us we have 5 minutes for debate, not six, five. And there's some of us that can make the point very well made in 2 minutes. There's some of us, like myself, that I can't make can't bring my point across in 30 minutes. But the rule is still 5 minutes. For me, it depends on the rule. So I think the rule of four years of math is a good one to implement and work on the problems as they arise. But stand for the rule and against the amendment. Thank you, Mr. President.
For your second time. Senator Dockstader.
Thank you. We would love to have every student be successful in college, algebra, trig, all that goes with it. Members of the Senate, that's just not realistic. The college-bound students, they're already taking their 4 years of math to ensure that Hathaway eligibility. Let's step back from this. We had mentioned that it's going to be a time to review the whole process here coming up. Let's step back and give that time opportunity. Let's take a look at it then. Now's not the time to change it to four. Standing for the amendment.
For your second time, Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, I'll be really brief. I would concur absolutely with your definition of success. What I hope we don't do is determine that the higher ATC score is now the measure of success.
Senator Coe.
Mr. President, for my second time and interesting discussion, and my good friend from Sheridan, and I appreciate his thoughts, but I want to remind the body of one thing. This is the fourth year of accountability, the fourth year of it. We're getting to the point where we're going to go into phase two. That's where we do teacher leader evaluations, student evaluations. Bottom line is that for the money we're spending right now on education, and this goes back to recalibration in 2010, where we shifted away from the money side and said, let's go to accountability. We aren't getting the bang for our buck. We're getting mediocre results and spending more money than anybody else in the country. This is the time, in fact, in the fourth year of accountability, it started in 2011 with the first bill. This is the time to raise the standards. It's appropriate. It's the right thing to do if we're going to have, hopefully, the number one education system in the country. And I just don't think we can do that. We can't be number one. And there are a lot of states that have 4 years of math, a lot of them. Talk about Massachusetts. They're ranked number one in the country, 4 years of math. In Boston, we can do it here.
Wrapping up debate, the sponsor, second time, Senator Wasserberger.
Thank you, Mr. President. I always want to say Mr. Speaker, but I'm pretty sure you're not Mr. Speaker. At any rate, to my good friend from Park County, I served with as co-chair of the Education Committee. You know, I'm a huge believer in rigor and standards. But rigor and standards moves from one classroom to another. To say that a math teacher has more rigor than an elective teacher, that's pure speculation on our part. And the best teachers I've ever seen, the best teacher I've ever saw was actually a math teacher. It was unbelievable. But elective teachers are very good teachers. And I can honestly say to you that in my elective classes in high school, I learned from a woodshop teacher, and I can build that desk. And I hadn't touched a tool in 20 years. So elective teachers do what they do. Math teachers do what they do also. To my good friend from Sheridan County who talked about Ronald Reagan, I became a Republican because Ronald Reagan said at the 1980 Republican Convention, the best government is the government closest to the people. Let's let local control back to our school boards. This is the change. The change is 2 4 years of math. It had been 3 years of math. So let's let the local boards do that. And lastly, I'd like to talk about my high school career, and I took vocational education. It was a 2-hour course. If you took that course today, starting as your freshman year, and most of our ranch kids do, that's all 8 electives. That's the only thing they can do. They can't take any other elective if we take this away. If we go to 4 years, that's all 8 electives. If we stay at 3, they could take one other than vocational education. One. Let's talk about the music kids. Typically, the music kids in every high school, they love music, and they usually take 2 courses. They're either taking band, and then they'll take some other string ensemble, or maybe they take choir, maybe whatever they happen to take. They almost always take 2 music courses. That's all they can do. That's it. If you're a business kid, if you like DECA or FBLA, you run out of slots. You can't take anything else. And lastly, I'd like to say, the success curriculum, we've had the Hathaway. I was a part of the Hathaway. I served on that committee. The good senator from Natrona knows the story. The success curriculum has been out there for a long time, and yet we still have remediation at the university level. Lastly, to my good friend from Crook County, I'd like to tell the story about my son, Trey. And many of you know Trey. Trey was kind of a troublemaker growing up. He was a handful. All of my kids took 4 years of math. That was our requirement. I still believe strongly, after 31 years in education, it's not for every kid. What Trey did was he decided that he was going to be a football star. And he was. And to be a football star, you didn't have to take math. So he signed up for all his courses, faked my name on the signature, and off he went to be a football star. And he was. He was a good player. I found out about it, and guess what? First thing I did was go to my boss at Twin Spruce Junior High and say, guess what, boss, I'll be back in just a few minutes. I have a little appointment with my son. I went up to the high school, got his little butt out of his wrestling coach's classroom, down to the guidance counselor we went, and we signed him up for math.
And about 2 weeks later, he was ineligible. And guess what? He got his grades up so he could play. All my kids graduated from the University of Wyoming, and I'm very proud of that. So to say that I don't stand for rigor, that's simply not true. And I'm here to tell you that our elective teachers are just as rigorous as our math teachers. And Mr. Chairman, Mr. President, that concludes my discussion, and I hope you vote in favor of this amendment. Thank you very much.
Roll call having been requested. The question is, second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 8. Roll call.
Anderson District 2.
No.
Anderson District 28.
No.
Barnard.
No.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
No.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
No.
Dockstetter.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Escobel. Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
No.
Hicks.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Kinski.
Aye.
Landon.
No.
Meyer excused. Pappas.
No.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson. Ross?
No.
Rothfuss?
No.
Scott?
No.
Von Platern?
No.
Wasserberger?
Aye.
President Nicholas?
No.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 15 aye, 14 no, 1 excused.
By your vote, second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 8 has been adopted. The next item is second reading amendment number 2. Senator Scott.
Mr. President, ask the privilege of the floor.
You may.
Mr. President, there were remarks made in the previous debate. I didn't want to respond to it at that time, and I don't want to get into personalities, but with regard to the Hathaway, the reference was made appropriately. I am very proud of my role in that, but I would like to call to the Senate's attention that our newest senator from Campbell County had a very major role in that original Hathaway, perhaps even more important than mine. As the chairman of the House Education Committee, and he and his colleagues did excellent work on that. And I just want to remind the Senate, so we don't have to get into it again, that you've got to recognize the role that he had in that, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Scott, but don't let it go to your head, Senator Wasserberger. Second reading number 2.
Senator File 8, second reading amendment number 2, page 36, after line 5.
Senator Coe.
Mr. President, move second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 8. This is a technical correction that was inadvertently omitted in the structure of the bill brought to me by staff, and ask that you adopt the amendment.
Any discussion on the amendment? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That amendment's been adopted. I believe that's all of the amendments on this bill. Senate File 8, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 9, second reading.
I don't know what he's doing.
Senate File 9, right to farm.
Senate File 9, Having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 11, second reading.
Senate File 11, selling to junk dealers, ID required.
No amendments. Senate File 11, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall be read a third time? Hearing no objection, that so ordered. Senate File 17, second reading.
Senate File 17, resident contractor materials preference.
Senate File 17, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 14. Thank you.
14 amendments, and I didn't know if that had
been. It's coming right now. Oh. They just got flipped in order. I don't think there's any requirement that they be doing numerical order, but they got flipped in the stack, so you're going to get your chance here now. Senate File 14, second reading.
Senate File 14, asset forfeiture 2.
Now you get your chance. Senate File 14, there are amendments. The first one is second reading, amendment number 1. Would the clerk please read it in?
Senate File 14, second reading, amendment number 1, page 3, line 4.
Senator Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd move Senate File 14, amendment number 1 to the second reading in that relative order. Amendment number 1 to second reading to Senate File 14. Mr. President, yesterday, tall senator from the heart of Wyoming mentioned about a change in an earlier standing committee amendment that took the words in two places from shall to may. He expressed some concern. We acknowledged we knew about that. Today's amendment is to make that simple correction on page 3, line 4, and line 18 to delete the Senate standing committee amendment on that line, reverting to shall on both line 4 and line 18. Just a brief explanation on this. We need the shall on page 3, line 18, instead of the may, because the preliminary order of forfeiture is the triggering event that requires a state to give notice of the forfeiture proceedings to parties or lien holders that have an interest in the property and triggers the time frame for them to submit a petition to contest the forfeiture proceeding. If we leave the may, the judge has the discretion to not enter a preliminary order of forfeiture, which creates a problem for when the notice needs to be given to these innocent parties and when they need to petition the court to contest the forfeiture and protect their interests. By requiring the judge to issue a preliminary order of forfeiture as the amendment provides, it would provide a clear date when notice is required to be given, when petitions to contest a forfeiture must be submitted, and avoid delays and confusion in the court process.
Further discussion on the amendment? The question is, shall we adopt second reading amendment number 1? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That amendment's been adopted. The next one is second reading amendment number 2. Will the clerk please read it in?
Senate File 14, second reading amendment number 2, page 1, line 9.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you. Mr. President, I would move second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 14 and ask for the body's favorable consideration. Mr. President, to explain this, there's a flow chart that I put out and handed out that you should be able to find on your desk that will help you understand what this does. This amendment really does three things. The first thing that it does, if you look at the flow chart, is there was, Mr. President, there appeared in my mind that there was some confusion or at least not definitive instruction about what would happen in the event of a dismissal or if there was a conviction. The conviction was for something other than a felony, which was a prerequisite under the bill as proposed for that to be for the property to be forfeited. And so what the first thing that this amendment does, the first part of it, as you look at it, are mostly conforming amendments for what happens later. But if you look in the middle of page 1, you see a Romanette 2 on line 26 that simply states, upon dismissal, acquittal, or conviction of a violation that is not a felony, the felony conviction having been a prerequisite for property forfeiture. So you have one of those three things happen. It just simply states that the property gets returned to the person from whom it was seized. So that's the first thing it does, and that's what that circle is on that that you see there. It just clarifies what happens in that little box there as this process goes through. The next thing that this amendment does is in the handwritten, you see right in there, we have an injury inserted into this thing, Your Honor. There we go again, Mr. President. And so what happens in a trial, you've gone through the trial, you've got a trial to a jury. There's been a verdict rendered. The jury has found the defendant either guilty or not guilty. Nothing in that changes this. But then what happened in the original bill was that the jury then would go back in and they would basically, as a part of that, or most likely subsequent to that, would have then another section of a trial that would be about whether or not this property goes back to who was seized. Mr. President, as I looked at that, it seemed to me that when you talk about those issues, those are mixed questions of law and fact. And in the legal profession and in the way that these things are done in courts, when you have a mixed question of law and fact, it's not just factual issues, there's law issues involved. Those have typically and traditionally reserved only to the judiciary. And so it seemed to me that the bill was requiring the jury to invade that province, which is generally held to the judge, to sort out those issues. And so what this does is it takes the jury out of that, so that once the verdict's entered, then basically that's going to be that should be fairly specific as to what happens with the property. If you're guilty of it, then it's probably going to be forfeited. And so at that point in time, then the judge under here, and that's where you see the Romanette 3, the judge enters a preliminary order directing forfeiture. Then what happens then is just the rest of it is once you've taken that out, it takes and you have to revamp a little bit of the words here and there so that you get this back into the same flow and follows the same flow that it did in the original bill. The only other significant amendment that I made to this was that in the original bill, there was a requirement that if you were a lien holder or you were an owner of the property and your property had been moved in it, that you had to get your property back, you had to show, well, not only that you had knowledge of the violation. And I think that was incorrect. I think the intent is that you have knowledge of the conduct that's related to the violation. So you may not have known about the specific event for which the violation is charged, but you knew about that there was a drug meth or that a drug lab or that you were transporting drugs, but not necessarily maybe in that specific instance. So it changed that. And then it took away this fact that you have to then also prove as a property owner or a lien holder that you did everything you could to stop it. Mr. President, in our society, there is no duty that you report a crime. There's no duty that you step in and stop a crime. You certainly have the right to do that, and there may be moral questions with respect to that. But that's not something that we haven't imposed upon our citizens, with very, very few exceptions, like a health care provider that learns of child molestation. So it removes that, but simply then also talks about the fact that they have to have not known about that. They still have to be basically innocent in the fact that they didn't know that their property was being used in the conduct related to the violation. Other than that, Mr. Chairman and Mr. President, that's what the bill does. It leaves everything else. The attempt was to leave everything else intact, but to remove the jury product, which I think would actually, as you look at this, the thing is complicated enough. The jury thing. Complicated it too much, and thank you. I ask for your favorable consideration.
Senator Von Flatern.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want a little clarification the next time the sponsor stands up to speak. On the end there, where you have a stay, somebody appeals it. I assume that's an appeal by the owner of the property that was confiscated, and then there's a stay below that. So, yes, if it stayed, then you have an arrow swinging up to disposition by state, and you say no, or yes below the stay and hold pending resolution. Can you explain that tail end of that for me?
Further discussion? If not, the sponsor for a second time.
Thank you. And I don't think that the amendment changed any of that. I think that's how it is in the existing bill, Mr. President. But what you have there is, if you go through this and ultimately there's an order of forfeiture is final, it comes out. You can appeal that. And so when you appeal that, there's going to be an application for a stay. If the stay's granted, then the state's going to have to continue to hold that because they're stayed from doing anything despite the fact they have the judgment. But if there is no stay, they would be able to go ahead and dispose of the property. Ultimately, if they prevail on the appeal, there's going to have to be some kind of remuneration or reimbursement payment of what was taken. But only the amendment doesn't change that. I think that's the way that is in the bill now.
We're on the amendment. The question is, shall it be adopted? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 2 has been adopted. We're back on the bill. No discussion. Senate file 14, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate file 26, second reading.
Senate file 26, challenge loan interest rate.
Senate file 26, there are no amendments, no discussion. Having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate file 33.
Senate file 33, precinct committee person elections.
Senate file 33, no amendments, no discussions. Having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate file 82, second reading.
Senate file 82, Funeral Services Practitioners Act amendments.
No amendments or discussions. Senate file 82. Having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Bills on third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do we have a consent list?
Mr. President, we do have a consent list, and I move the third reading consent list, which is as follows. Senate File 12. Trespassing to collect data. Senate File 53, special elections, time limits. Senate File 54, election code revisions. Senate File 58, state park officers, benefits. Senate File 59, Wyoming public television endowment accounts. Senate File 60, deferred compensation plan, automatic enrollment. And Senate File 74, summer school intervention and remediation.
You've heard the list. Are there any requests to remove anything on the list? There being no... Senator Scott, excuse me.
Mr. President, can we remove Senate File 12, the trespassing to collect data?
Senate File 12, trespassing to collect data, is removed from the consent list. Any other requests? There being none, and having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? Senate File 53, Special Elections Time Limits. Senate File 54, Election Code Revisions. Senate File 58, State Park Officers Benefits. Senate File 59, Wyoming Public Television Endowment Accounts. Senate File 60, Deferred Compensation Plan Automatic Enrollment, and Senate File 74, Summer School Intervention and Remediation. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
On the consent list, Anderson District 2.
Aye.
Anderson District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns,
aye.
Case,
aye.
Christensen,
aye.
Coe,
aye.
Cooper,
aye.
Kraft,
aye.
Dockstader,
aye.
Driscoll,
aye.
Emmerich,
aye.
Escobel,
aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Kinski.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Meyer excused. Pappas.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Von Fladern.
Aye.
Wasserberger.
Aye.
President Nicholas.
Aye.
On the consent list, 29 aye, 1 excused. Senate File 53, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 53, 29 aye, 1 excused. Senate File 54, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 54, 29 aye, 1 excused. Senate File 58, are there any changes? Case, Ida, no. Driscoll, aye to no. Geis, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 58, 26 aye, 3 no, 1 excused. Senate File 59, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 59, 29 aye, 1 excused. Senate File 60, are there any changes? Case aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 60, 28 aye, 1 no. 1 excused. Senate File 74, are there any changes? Closing vote. Case, aye to no. Wasserberger, aye to no. Bebout, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 74, 26 aye, 3 no, 1 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 53, 54, 58, 59, 60, and 74 have passed the Senate. Senate File 12, third reading.
Senate File 12, trespassing to collect data, sponsored by the Judiciary Committee. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Discussion on the bill, Senator Scott.
One, just a general matter of policy. I think in a lot of these things where you're having disputes about environmental issues, what's really going on, we're better off with the most possible data collection and not getting ourselves in a posture where it looks like we're trying to suppress information. In order to avoid reaching particular conclusions. Now, having said that, I think some of this bill is seeking to remedy a real evil about some of the trespass that does go on. So, mixed feelings on that score. The thing, Mr. President, concerns me the most is that normally with this kind of crime, you put in some kind of a provision that you had to know that what you were doing was wrong. You had to know that you were trespassing. Were on private land as opposed to, say, public, something like that. And I've been trying to track the amendments through as on this bill. They've cured most of the other problems I had with this bill. But that particular problem, I think, is still there. And over that particular issue, I'm going to have to try to handle on this bill.
Further discussion on the bill? There being none, the question is, shall Senate file 13 pass on the Senate? Roll call. What did I say? Wait a minute. What did I say? Oh, I said 13. Okay, I apologize. The question is, shall Senate file 13? I can't get it. I mean, 13 is, it says 12. It stares at me, and I...
You have 3 years of man.
I don't think another year is going to change my dyslexia. Question is, Senate file 12 shall pass third reading. Call, roll call.
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstetter.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Esquivel. Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Kinski.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Meyer excused. Pappas.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
No.
Rothfuss.
No.
Scott.
No.
Von Fladern.
Aye.
Wasserberger.
Aye.
President Nicholas.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 26 aye, 3 no, 1 excused.
Senate File 12, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 12 has passed the Senate. I'm really disappointed that all of you don't know that 13 comes after 12. Do we have any more messages to read? Anything else we can do before lunch? Mr. Majority Floor Leader, were that an order of business of bills on general file or lunch?
Mr. President, I move that we stand recessed until 2 p.m.
Announcements.
Mr. President.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, it's the intention of the Majority Floor Leader to have a caucus of the Republican members of the Senate just as soon as we get back or shortly thereafter up in the Corporations Committee room upstairs.
After lunch. Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Joint Appropriations Committee will continue markup in room 204 of the supplemental budget at noon, so I'd ask your indulgence to allow the members to once again grab some lunch. And, Mr. President, hopefully when we get into general file, in order to try to move through this budget, we request that we be able to have leave while we're on general file to continue our markup at that time.
The JAC is excused if they need to work on the committee on the markup process. Senator Emmerich.
Mr. President, your committee number 5, Agriculture, State, and Public Lands, will meet this afternoon upon adjournment in room S-15 to consider Senate File 6, Aquatic Invasive Species, Senate File 46, Fire Misdemeanors, Senate File 56, Study on Transfer of Public Lands.
Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Minority Caucus will be also caucusing at the same time the Minority Party will.
Thank you. Senator Von Flatern.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 9, Minerals and Economic Development, will meet tomorrow, Friday, January 23rd, shortly after noon recess, in room S18 to consider Senate File 84, Enhanced Recovery, Carbon Dioxide Certification, Senate File 92, Workers' Compensation, County Elected Officials.
Senator Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Judiciary Committee number 1 will meet Friday, January 23rd, 8 a.m. in room S1 to consider the following bills, Senate File 38, Controlled Substances, First Offense for Possession, Senate File 83, Parole Board Authority, and Senate File 94, Substance Abuse Assessments for Non-Residents.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee number 3, Revenue, will meet today, 12:30. To discuss, continue our discussion on Senate File 42 Task Force on Mineral Taxes. That'll be at 12:30 in S16.
No further announcements. You've heard the motion of the Majority Floor Leader. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That motion is adopted. The Senate shall stand in recess until 2 p.m.